V-1. Stevenson Farm, East View, Colorado.
I can't leave you, Dan said, holding Emma's hand. Not now, not when I know.
You have to, she interrupted. If we want a future at all, you have to fix this. I know you want to help them, but that's not the main thing. Helping them is how we help ourselves. Helping them is how we get rid of the squadron before someone loses their nerve and smashes the button to start a nuclear war. Helping them is how we deal with Jack once and for all, and helping them is how we make sure this child has a world to grow up in.
Dan exhaled deeply. He knew she was right, and that was the worst part.
I'll come with you,
Tara chimed in, surprising everyone.
Clark, you have to stay with Emma, and I mean with her at all times, in case anyone tries to do anything like they did to me. But I want to do this. I need to do this. I'm not some helpless victim. I can help, and I want to. I want to help pay them back for saving us on contact day, and you can bet your ass I want to pay Jack back for what he did to me. When this is finished, so is he. So let's get started.
Emma and Clark shared a long, thoughtful look. I want her to come, Dan said. Tara is way better at reading social cues and stuff like that than I am, and I trust her like I trust myself. Tara smiled beside him.
Thanks.
Will they even let you go? Clark asked. They've never spoken to you. And are you definitely sure that you're not, you know?
Oh, don't worry about that,
Tara said, her chuckle introducing a much-needed moment of levity.
That's the one kind of test I have a 100% record of passing.
And she is allowed, Dan added, having already silently asked the messengers. They're glad to have her on board. Tara looked into the cornfield.
On board.
She mused, an innocent expression of wonder breaking through the tension and pressure of the moment.
On board an alien spaceship.
They're telling me it's time, Dan relayed to the others. He turned to Emma, and they took a few steps to the side to talk privately. This left Clark with Tara, and he had a simple message as he pulled her in for a tight, protective hug. Be careful.
I don't even remember if I ever thanked you,
Tara said, speaking to his chest with her head on his shoulder.
You know, for everything you did to get me out of that spot with Jack and the Geosovs.
Thank me by saving the world and bringing Dan back in one piece, Clark replied. Maybe two pieces, three at most, but no more than that. Deal? Tara giggled and pulled her head back slightly to look up at him. Her eyes lingered for several seconds. Clark let out a slow sigh. Why do you have to look at me like that now, when you're about to fly off in a spaceship? He asked. A lighthearted twang in a series of words that sounded like they were coming from somewhere real.
Don't think I haven't thought about it,
Tara replied, real all the way.
If it wouldn't be so weird, I...
Weird for who? Clark interjected. For you, fine. But if you mean for everyone else, what everyone else thinks is the worst reason ever. It's not even a reason.
Why do you have to talk to me like that now, when I'm about to fly off in a spaceship? She replied.
Clark's lips broke into a touché-tinged grin. How about we talk when you get back?
Deal.
Emma and Dan arrived at the cornfield side of the circle at this point, while the police were doing a good but easy job of keeping the public well clear. Phil Norris stood on his porch, raising a hand to wave goodbye as he kept an eye on the crowd that had understandably, but from his perspective, frustratingly, gathered on his property. Tell Dad and the guys I said bye. Dan requested, his mind turning to them at the sight of Phil. No. Clark point-blank refused, his tone gruff and uncompromising. Just you fucking concentrate on making sure you get home, you hear? Get home and tell them hello, none of this hand-wringing goodbye bullshit. Vintage Clark, Dan thought, but he wouldn't have had it any other way. Emma and Tara's parting was predictably softer but equally brief, with both aware of the urgency they faced. What Emma also became aware of, though, was an uncertain glint in Dan's eyes. She held two fingers up to the messengers, not even considering whether they'd understand this plea for slightly more time, and moved closer to Dan to give him a few final words of encouragement. They had come a long way since she arrived on his doorstep chasing a payday for XPR, and since she had escorted him to countless media appearances when he was viewed by many as a lunatic conspiracy theorist. It hadn't been a straight road, and certainly hadn't been without its bumps, but they were still driving and now had the promise of reaching an all-new destination in around 8 months,
with a long-planned wedding somewhere in between.
Never stop believing in yourself, Emma told him. Because everything that's come our way, and there's been a lot of it, we've always dealt with it. Even if it was Walker who chose you for the leak sequence that kicked everything off, the messengers chose you for this, Dan. They didn't want me plus one, they wanted you plus one. Me staying behind means I can deal with everything else. Talking to Slater and Godfrey, Ding, and especially Cole. This could work out for the best.
Dan forced a slow nod. But don't stress yourself out by doing too much at once, okay? Things are different now.
Yes, they are,
she replied, leaning forward to kiss him goodbye.
And they'll still be different when you come back. All we need to do is save two worlds at once. I'll handle Earth, you handle New Kerguelen. Easy, right?
This time, Dan didn't have to force anything. He smiled widely, suddenly hit by a wave of realization of how lucky he'd always been to have Emma in his life, and how much luckier he'd just gotten to learn they would soon have a family, too. His grin widened as he had the idea to appropriately turn back on Emma the words she'd spoken to him when he was about to meet John Cole in Havana. It was the last thing he said to her before entering the cornfield for the trip to New Kerguelen, and it had her smiling just as widely. I love you, Emma Ford, and there's nothing we can't do.